Hey, it's your boy TBC on the Jokes and Jocks podcast with my co-host
G. Hay Wiley, your favorite Blasian.
Yeah. And coming to you live from where I believe he's at in St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
Our special guest, Damon Wafiki. What's good, player?
What's good, man? It's just Damon. That's what. But you know what? I don't get mad when people get the name wrong because I have a rule. You can't change your name but once or twice where people just, they can call you whatever they want. Like after two name changes, it's like whatever name you remember. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. It's all good.
So hit up. So Damon, hit up why, because I know why you have two name changes, but not a lot of people do. So hit up why you have those two name changes.
Well, yeah. So I had a street name when I was in St. Louis. Was Wafik, but then I got lucky enough to hook up with a publishing company called Third Side Music, and I've been working with them for about a year. And I don't know, like a lot of my older stuff has a certain sound to it, but as you grow up, you kind of maturate, and it just felt like what I was writing, associating it with the Wafik stuff, it just didn't, it felt like it was a big clash. So everything felt more honest and autobiographical, and like I wouldn't say it unless I, you know, had been through it, whereas Wafik, I was saying all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know if I can curse on this, but like I was saying,
yeah, you can curse on this. It's fine.
I would say anything I thought would be clever, it would get a reaction as Wafik. So then like the rules became a little more strict in terms of what I talked about or how I spoke on music, so or how I spoke on a song. So with that kind of maturation, I was like, yeah, I got time to go with my real name. So my real name is just Damon. And I was just like, it just felt right. So I talked to my A&R about it. I was like, yeah, I think about changing my name to Damon. And she was like, hell yeah. I think for them, they were just like, yeah, that's easier to sell than, you know what I'm saying, America than an Arabic name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
We'll talk about the origination of, you know, I mean, we can go from Wafiki all the way to you getting to this point of being an artist just known as Damon. So you want to start from the beginning and just introduce yourself to the audience for those that don't know you, when I first met you, somebody, like one of our girlfriends, shout out to Taylor, was like, oh, you're Wafiki. Like, and I didn't know any of this stuff. So start from the beginning and then go from the end.
Oh, man. Shoot. I don't know if we have enough time to go from the beginning. I've been doing this a long time. I've been rapping since I was a little kid, and I was more of a battle rap type, you know, and my rap name was Ala Wafik because I had, this is so embarrassing to admit, but I had a bit of a God complex. No, I had a full-on raging God complex as a teenager. And it's really stupid. Like, I had, like, 12 rap disciples that will follow me around. It was really, really ridiculous. And so I rapped under the name Ala Wafik because I was just like this super serious, like, it's really embarrassing.
I cannot imagine you doing that now. Like,
Ala
Wafik. Yeah. So it was just like taking myself too seriously, and I'm going to save the world, and I'm the best rapper in the world, and all this stuff. And I have these people that are, like, feeding my head with this crap, like, kind of feeding it back to me. And then I moved to L.A. because I just needed to challenge myself. I moved to L.A. partially because y'all seen the intro to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Everyone's seen that. Like, that happened to me in real life. Like, I was basically, like, battle rapping and getting into shit with gangster rappers, and I'm just this nerdy little kid who thought he was God. And at some point they started like threatening to kill me. We get people breathing heavy in the phone, like calling the phone at my parents' house late at night, kill you nigga and shit like that. So yeah. It was like, yo. So I had to get out. So I had an aunt that lived in Ontario. You know what I'm saying? So I went to stay with her a little bit. And then I ended up, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of, I went to school at a Musicians Institute in LA, and that indirectly, that's even how I met you, because how I ended up getting that job at you know, the Strand was through a friend named Lamar, who I went to school with.
Yes.
So it was just like, so it's just funny how things connect. But being in LA is humbling, man, because you know you could be a big fish in a small pond in St. Louis and feel like you're the man. You know, you got a couple thousand fans and shit. But LA is like, no one knows you, no one cares. It's like, you be the loudest, dopest rapper on the planet. People be like, whatever, dude. My cousin's a rapper, you know what I'm saying? So it was a precursor to how it is now. But no, I mean, just rapping in L.A. kind of like got my bones, but then also humbled me enough. So I changed it to Fiki, because that's what everyone calls. You know, you always end up with a nickname, right? Like, you call yourself Alawa Feek, and niggas like, I ain't calling you all that. I'm going to call you Fiki, you know what I mean? I'm going to call you Fiki. And so Fiki stuck, so I ran with that for a while. And then, I don't know, like, being totally frank, I got addicted to, you know, drugs and alcohol pretty bad. And I got back to St. Louis and it was still going. And I don't know, just in the process of getting clean and getting more focused about like what music really means to me, and just having to like tell myself, because I was one of those types who was like, this is how I make art. Like, I'm not a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my process. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, nah, fool, you're a fucking drug addict. You know what I mean? You got to be honest. So just going through that process, like, in growing up, I use the word maturation a couple of times, but that's really what it feels like. So the whole going with Damon, it just feels like finally coming to my own. So all the experiences from arrogant idiot god complex kid to like humbled rapper running around LA to now like having more of a platform through music publishing and being sober for the first time and longer than I care to, you know, admit. So it's just, I don't know, it all feels like coming full circle, like, you know.
And so, that's incredible. I love that, Damon, for you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that for you. Yeah, I mean, you've always been a creative person too, so the drugs, you don't need them.
No, that was a real conversation too. It was like, to myself, like, if you need the drugs to rap, then guess what, we're doing something else. Like, it was just, yeah, like, if that's really what it is, it's time to do something new, bro. Like, we go, I don't know. But yeah, luckily, literally the first song I wrote sober, I was like, I don't know if anyone, but getting clean is so much harder than people really realize. Like, for the first 3 or 4 months, you really think you're gonna die. Like, you honestly, every day you're so sick, you're like, oh, this is death, like, I'm gonna die. And I remember I was lying in bed and my boy Steve Spiffler sent me this new beat he was working on, and I wrote this song called Turn the World Around in bed. I had to crawl to the bathroom, use the bathroom, that's how bad it was. But I wrote this song, and it was basically like a note to myself, like, turn the world, like, I'm going to turn this around no matter what. Like, just get up, get out there and do it. Just full on motivational speech in like 3 minute song. And I took an Uber. I crawled down the steps, took an Uber to this recording studio and had people help me into the booth. I had to sit down and record it. And I sat and recorded it. And a couple months later, it was a, Xbox picked it up for the new Forza Horizon 5 game that was last year. They scheduled it. They used it in November, but it takes forever to get a song on something. But like, it was like, that's when I knew, like, okay, I don't need drugs or alcohol. I can do this. You know what I mean? Like, without all that. So it was a good experience.
That is just, that's fucking beautiful, man. Like, I love that for you. Again, I didn't know that you were going through this struggle. Like, I knew that you were dealing with it, but I didn't know that you were going through that much of a struggle. I think that, like, you keep your shit on tight. Like, you're not, you're as they would call you, like, a functioning drug addict.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. No, it's like, no, that's what makes it even more insidious, is because you feel like it took so long for me to realize it. And then especially getting back, like, in LA, it was harder because all of us, everyone around me was functioning. Everyone was doing okay or doing well. And then you get back home in St. Louis, and it was like, at one point, you know, I'm in the studio working with my engineer, one of the artists I work with, I won't say his name, and he had like a nervous breakdown and tried to kill me. And like, you just around these people, and like, you're around these folks as they're breaking down. And I think that's when the veneers start to come off. You're like, okay, no, maybe this isn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't so good. You know what I mean? Because you keep making excuses like, oh, I need it to work. Or you're like, oh, I'm not really a drug addict. And then you look around the room, and everyone's like freaking out and all weird. And you just like, okay, this is tenable, man. Like, something's got to change.
Yeah. So what's your process now then? Cause I knew your process back then and I won't go through it, but what's your process? What's your process now that, you know, you are clean, which is beautiful. What's your process now?
It's kind of more early in the day. I get up pretty early, around 7 or 8 now. And I'll do like a little light workout. I'm trying to get like up to 7 a week. So some days are 2 a days, another type of thing. I get a little workout in, and something about that clears my head. And then I just, it's a lot of like forcing myself. because it's like how do I put this? It feels harder than it really is. So when you're just starting, you're like, I write down. I have a big whiteboard right in front of me in my office. And I have like a whiteboard, and I'll just make sure to write down what I want to accomplish on the whiteboard. So, and then I tell myself, you can't erase it until it's done. And then, like, I guess my OCD or ADD, whichever one of those acronyms, it's like
you have major OCD.
Yeah, it wants to erase something. It's like it's too filled with stuff. So, like, it motivates you, but it's really just there's nothing special about it. It's literally just going, all right, we have a job to do. Sit down, like treating it more like a 9-to-5. You know what I mean? Give yourself 4 or 5 hours of writing if you have work to do a day. You know what I mean? Just really just because I come from like my dad is owns a used appliance shop. My mom's a retired teacher. I come from like real blue collar folks. So everything's like, well, you get up and you go do it, boy. You know? So I just kind of take that more boring approach to something more creative. It's just like, just fucking do it, man. Get to work.
Yeah. Do you still do some manual labor with your dad? Because like, I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but like you used to do, I remember stories when you were like, oh, I used to go out with dad and we would like, you guys would like build, like he has an appliance shop. So you guys would build all this shit together. Yeah. So like, do you still do that with him?
No, not anymore. He won't say anything, but he takes my music stuff more serious now. Like that was a point where, right before I signed the publishing deal, I love this story. So like the day before I got offered the publishing deal, I'm in the truck with my dad. And basically all I did, he did all the cool stuff. All I did was help him carry shit and clean roaches out of old refrigerators. Like I didn't get to do anything. Like he was the one, like I'm handing him the tools and then putting stuff on the dolly and rolling into the truck. Like that's all I would do. The overgrown assistant. But we're in the truck and he looks over at me and he goes, you know, boy, I don't know. You know, it's time to start thinking about doing something else in this music, Damon. Music ain't worth nothing. They ain't doing anything. It's not worth anything. And I just sat in the truck and say anything. And that very evening, I got the email offer for the publishing deal. And the next day I'm on the phone with Jeff Way, who owns Third Side. I'm talking to him on the phone. So my dad's in there working and I'm like, Dad, I have to take this call. So I'm in the truck talking to Jeff Way. We're working out details. My dad gets in the car and he's driving and he goes, well, I will be careful signing anything. And I looked at him. I said, but Dad, just yesterday, it wasn't worth shit. what are you worried about? It wasn't worth anything. So it's been a fight process because everything's more material for him. He had to be able to see it and touch it to understand its importance. But like we've been in some magazines and like a couple times you turn on the TV and like you hear your son rapping while you're watching TV. I think it makes it more real for him. So now it's like, he only really hits me up when he's desperate. Otherwise, he leaves me to my...
Oh, he leaves you alone.
Yeah, he leaves me alone.
what have you guys been working on as far as, you know, I know that you just wrapped a couple things, a couple albums. Yeah. And then like, I know we, prior to this, we were talking about you were in New York. You're trying to come out to LA, which I wish you would. Just moved out here. It'll just make my life easier. so we can hang out a little bit more. You can enjoy the beach more with me.
I don't even go to the beach. I never, you know, the whole time I lived in LA,
I know. I
never swam in the ocean.
I know.
What? So what?
I know. And you worked right. And you worked literally right by it.
I worked right there. I worked right next to it. Oh, that's me in a nutshell. If you want to know about me, bro? That's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot more sense, to be honest with you, than anything, right? I just lost my train of thought. I tried to like picture you like on the actual sand, and I can't.
Never.
No. Even though I lived like 2 seconds away and you would stay over at my place and you would still not go to the beach. What are you guys working on and what are you touring or like what's
Right now so I want to get an indie record deal. Like I've been doing publishing for years, but I really got like to the point where just publishing is just like you sit in the studio, they send you what's called a brief and it's like a description of the type of song they want. And then you make it and hopefully the client likes it. If they like it, you get on something. Like that's the thrust of it, basic thrust. And at some point, you just want to make what you want to make. But to do that and have success at it, you have to have, you know, a buzz. You know, you have to be out there. So I haven't really been doing anything like that. So this last 6 to 8 months, it kind of switched focus. So we've got a new mixtape called I'm From the Future, which we're going to put out eventually. And we're just starting to do local shows. I asked my publishing company, I was like, hey, could you help me get a deal? And they just gave me like a list of shit to do. They're like, if you want a record deal, it's what you have to do. So one of the main things is like, wherever you live, you need to build a buzz there. You have to have like something going. So we're just doing local shows. And like I said, I just came from New York. We were at the Tribeca Film Festival with a friend of mine named Janae Sound.
Nice.
Her, she's incredible. She's incredible. She just did her own. She set up this entire thing. She did a virtual reality experience that featured women of color and members of folks from the LGBTQ community. It was fucking dope as shit. Like, she put
that
together. So I was like one of the hosts to help, like, you know, like guide people along the ride, like show them how it worked. It's fucking amazing. So I went out there with her and just met some people. And we're just trying to build that network. You know what I mean? Because like you, publishing is one thing, but being like an active artist that has like a fan base, and it's a whole different animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we're doing the beginning stages of trying to build. So funny to think of it that way. Like, I feel like a brand new artist, because it's like people will know a song of mine, but they won't know me at all. We just did a song. We did a cover of New York, New York that got used on Netflix's show, Inventing Anna. And it was like the very first episode, end of the episode, and then suddenly I started rapping. And that song's doing great on Spotify. But those fans, they have no connection to me as an artist. They just like the TV show, and then they heard the song. Like, I like this one song. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to build that connective tissue through like
Right. Shows
and just an actual product that isn't on specifically on like television shows and shit. So
that's okay. Where are you guys thinking of going next then? Are you just gonna stay local for now?
Oh, right now I'm staying local, but I want to build it up where we can start doing like a Southwest tour in the fall or in the winter, so we can go like California, I guess maybe even just the West Coast, do like California, Oregon, Washington State, that kind of thing. So we'll see. But right now, yeah, it's mainly the Midwest.
Just same state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of other things that you can. What have you not to? Because like, other than like, what do you do for your workout regimen then? Because like, I've never seen you go and work out. I've only seen you go to like.
This is new. This is a brand new thing.
Which is great. I'm so excited for you.
I have a trainer named Ben Sawyer. He's great. He's like a full on. He's the perfect trainer for me. He literally is a professional comic book artist. So
so good for you. Yeah,
perfect. So we just talk about, we just nerd out while we're working out. And his main focus is strength conditioning. So he does like heavy weights and that type of thing. So 3 days a week doing heavy weights with him, and then I have like a tiny little. I have like a couple of weights and a rowing machine and a bench in my house. So then like three or four days, I just do like calisthenics and light stuff like that. You know, I'm just trying to keep moving. You know what I mean? I've only been doing it. I haven't even been doing it a year yet. So it's hard for me to even describe exactly what I'm doing. Be like, I got the exercises written on my phone. I just try to make sure I work out at least an hour a day. And then just mix it up, you know, try to hit all the major muscle groups. But he's really great. Like I guess it's a gift and a curse, because it keeps me from really having to know everything. But then also when you ask me questions, I'm like, I just do whatever Ben tells me to do until I can't move anymore.
Isn't necessarily a bad thing. Everybody, some people need that kind of motivation, and other people are like, no, I'm going to go and do this and whatever. It works for me. So if this works for you, then, you know, God bless you. I love it.
I love, you know, the only thing that sucks about it is like, I wish I would have realized how much I like it sooner, because I'd already be in great shape, because it's not even like a chore. Like, I love it. Like, it's just like writing songs. To get started every day, to do it, I'm always like, oh, wait. And then I just get that kick in my head, like, just do it. And then 20 minutes into it, I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life. So good. But it's just like reminded. Some reason our brains, I read this, I don't know if this is true. This one, the internet didn't bother to research things, but I read that the brain overcompensates. It tells your body that things are more difficult than they really are because it's trying to conserve energy. Like, I don't know how factual that is, but that's one of those things that feels true because everything sounds so hard in my head. It'd be like, even just getting out of bed, I'd be like, get out of bed. But then once you get going, you're like, you know, you're happy that you got your day started, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like those are what was that, Tully?
No, I concur with that because I think that is half the battle is just getting out the bed. And you, when you say, oh, I need to work out, just actually getting to the gym and starting is the hardest part. I think, like you said, once you're 20 minutes into it, you're like, oh, wow, I'm glad I'm doing this. But getting rolling out the bed and getting going, a lot of people have trouble just doing that.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, in yoga, they always say just like your motivation just be to get on your mat. And that's good enough because if you get on your mat, you're like, you're already there. Like you can't get up and leave now. Like you're already at the studio. You're already where you're already standing, like sitting on your mat. You might as well just do the workout. Yeah,
exactly. That's literally, I have this, this saying that I'm running all the time now and it's keep going. Like even like just asking me what I'm up to. Like I have goals written on my board that I want to get to. Some of those things, I have no idea how they're going to happen. But I didn't think I was going to get a publishing deal. I mean, when I first came home in St. Louis, so much of my identity was I was the one who got out. Like, because St. Louis, like, I'm from a poor part of St. Louis. Like, St. Louis is pretty poor in general. But I'm from the north side of St. Louis. I'm the one kid that my friends thought was rich because they were so broke. That like, it was just, like, you know what I mean? But like, we're broke too. We're poor too. It's like, they were just flat broke, you know? So much of my who I was I'm the guy who got to LA. I'm the LA guy, you know? And so losing that, I was like, man, what am I going to do? And then I just started working with my dad. And all I would do was save up my little $400 a week from working with him and then spend it in the studio. Fridays, I work Monday through Friday. Friday, Saturday, I'm in the studio. I had no plan. I didn't know what was going to happen. And we took my producer now, Adrian. This is a new guy I was working with at the time. We took this old song I was working on that I wrote. At Strand House, I wrote like sneaking in the back.
This is what you worked on when I went to visit you.
No.
Oh, it was something else. Okay.
I don't know what we're working on. I already got the publishing deal and everything by then. Cause I had that nice place. I had the reason why I'm broke now. I spend all that damn money like an idiot. I was getting paid though. Cause it's up and down. I didn't understand that yet. The money would be great 1 minute and then bad. So you have to really like take it and then put it to the side. You can't be like, all right, now I'm going to do this, you know. But no, so we took this old song and had a new person sing the chorus for it and sent it to the producer. And literally the guy we sampled, God bless his soul, he's an incredible artist, Galt McDermott, had just passed. And his family sold the rights to his music to this company. And when they sold the rights, somehow our song ended up in the batch of songs they sent over to the publishing company. And A&R over there heard it and was like, who the fuck is this? And then found me and then offered me a fucking deal. Matter of fact, didn't even offer me a deal at first. Offered me a deal for that song. And then because I kept recording so much, one day she was just like, what are you even working on? Send me something. And I sent her this big batch of shit because I just been doing stuff. And so she took that and was like, all right, and showed it to the owner and he offered me a deal. And it just, so like, that's like so much of my mentality now. It's like, even if I don't know how I'm going to get to the goal or how, just keep going, man. Just keep going. Like I don't feel like my body's changed that much from working out. Just keep going. I don't feel like I've improved that much from being sober. Just keep going. Like just lock onto the target and keep moving towards it regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause it's in the little the doubts or whatever, like you said before about getting to the gym in the first place. Like that's where you derail yourself and end up like failing. It's not even in like the pursuit of it or just randomly just trying shit. It's when you kind of go, okay, forget it. It's not working. You know what I mean? Like it's not going to work out. I'm in St. Louis. I'm not in LA. I don't have a big record deal. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like this artist is just working with this famous person and I'm not. And then you get kind of caught up and then you just sort of quit. So I'm just constantly moving.
Well, I'm glad that you're still moving. Yeah. Okay, let's switch it over. So you and Tully can start fighting. So
I might cry.
or you can start crying. I want to talk to both y'all about your basketball teams. One is doing great, the other not so much. But you guys do have, and I don't know if you're following Summer League at all, Damon, but you guys do have Scottie Pippen Jr., Shareef O'Neal right now in the Summer League playing for the G League Lakers right now. And they're not doing horribly. Would you see a future with like the youth, or are you just still like in this Westbrook haze? Let's even just go jump to Westbrook right now, and like the fact that they're trying to dump his contract, and that just sucks. Do you see Westbrook is going to still be in a Laker uniform this upcoming season, or do you see them getting Kyrie? Or
No, I don't. I think Kyrie, and even though I think this is unconventional, I don't see how Kyrie or Durant get moved. I just don't. I know that I just don't see it. And then it could be also because it's a Lakers fan. I'm a cynical Lakers fan. I know a lot of Lakers fans, you know Lakers fans who live in LA. They can be so pie in the sky, and they're so unrealistic. I feel like I have to be like the balancing force to that, which is ridiculous. But that's just how I feel. So I just, the moment, and Westbrook is a Hall of Famer, but the moment they got him, I knew we were done. The moment I heard it, I like just like oh, it was just like a guttural sort of gut wrenching. Oh no! It's just because I'm a fan of the game first and foremost. Lakers became my team because in St. Louis we don't have a team. You move to LA. And I moved to LA. I was super young, and Kobe and Shaq are doing their thing, and it was just like, how could you not fall in love with that? As a basketball fan, but as a basketball fan, you just look at the way a team's built. You're like, there's no way how Russell Westbrook can't shoot. He's not a big defender. He's not like a staunch defender. You know what I mean? Kind of a stat chaser. It just doesn't fit. Like, how is it? Just the moment I saw it, I was like, okay, we're done. And then they gutted the team to get him. It wasn't like we kept, you got a defensive coach in Frank Vogel. Then you take all the defensive personnel away from him. So now he can't run his scheme, defensive scheme. And then Anthony Davis is Mr. Glass. It just doesn't, it's bad. It's all bad.
They did win a championship 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But that's a totally different team. The only thing that team has in common with this team is that they both wear the same jerseys. I mean, like, other than LeBron and AD, who else is there?
You think a healthy AD and LeBron in like that same team, had they had Westbrook, you don't think they win the championship?
No. Absolutely not. Yeah, I agree with David. Plus,
the league
one
is more competitive this year than it was a couple years ago. I'm not hating on that championship, but the Warriors are wrecked. The Warriors are like, they're post KD. They're for real. I'm not really intimidated by Phoenix. We were gonna beat Phoenix before AD went down 2 playoffs ago. We were dog walking them. I just never, shout out to them. I don't believe in Phoenix. But then you got the Warriors in the West. You got Luka's coming. Luka is coming. I don't care what anybody say about that dude. He's dangerous. He's coming. And in the East, the Boston isn't quite there yet, but I don't think that the Lakers team with Russell and the help, I don't think they beat Boston. I just feel like the way they're constructed, it's just something about Westbrook to me. His game, it just feels like it just doesn't fit. Especially because like LeBron's not, if this is LeBron from 10 years ago, yes. Because he's a two-way player, he can cover up Westbrook's deficiencies on defense, and I just feel like LeBron, with any kind of Hall of Fame level talent from 10 years ago, I mean, he damn near beat y'all. Remember when he had Dellavedova and who else was it? Who was his second and third best player? And he took y'all 6-7 games. Remember that? Yep. So that LeBron, yeah, but this LeBron, it just. I'm sorry, man. Like, Father Time is undefeated, bro.
Well, I agree. I just think AD is their X factor.
Yeah.
And that team, without a healthy AD, it doesn't matter who they get. Doesn't matter what LeBron you get. AD is what won them the championship and will win them a championship going forward, in my opinion.
So you guys don't believe that, because you guys had, Caruso. You had a lot of other you know, role players for that championship that were great.
Three and D guys.
Absolutely.
That could play defense. Not saying they were going to lock you down, or not saying they were going to make every shot, but people who weren't afraid to shoot the ball, who could catch and shoot on a moment's notice, and would play staunch defense, hard-nosed defense, in-your-face deep. That team isn't there anymore. Also, but I want to ask you, do you think that Anthony Davis exists anymore? Because I know he's young, but I don't. I just don't think that's there anymore.
Well, I mean, the NBA season, as we know, is a long season. And so will we see him play an entire season dominant, healthy? I'm going to say no. But I do think if they do some type of management with him and just play him sparingly, get them at least closer to the playoffs. If he's healthy in the playoffs, then I think they win another chip.
Wow.
That's coming from a Warriors fan.
I'm a Warriors fan too, but I just think that dude is arguably the best center in the league when healthy. And if healthy, I don't see, I mean, with the team that they have, I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. Obviously, you said, you know, no Kyrie, no Durant, no, I don't know if they're going to, you know, get rid of Westbrook, but I think the bottom line is AD. Either they're going to have to trade AD and restart, or he's got to be healthy for them to even have a run.
That's true. I mean, because people do forget there was a point where AD was in that championship run. AD made Jokic look like he didn't belong in the league. I mean, he was walking him. I mean, like people, and that was all, like you said, that was barely 2 years ago. But it's just the league, man. It's like, it's so competitive. People are getting better. Like, those teams that we beat are better, or they don't exist anymore. You know what I'm saying? That the pieces have been broken up. I just don't understand. And I know this is just like going back or what about is or what if, you know, think about what if. I don't understand how the same people who beat Westbrook on that Rockets team in the bubble, how you think you're going to go get, like they sagged, the Lakers beat the crap out of them by just sagging off of Westbrook. They weren't even guarding him. So you would think LeBron and AD would have the foresight to go, no, he's not going to work on a team with both of us on the floor. I need the ball and you need spacing to work down low. So let's get someone who also needs the ball and can't shoot. Like, I just can't understand how professional athletes didn't think of that. Like, it just, I don't know.
Well, so you were saying when you weren't excited at all when they got Westbrook?
No, I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken, bro. I was like, I do this thing now whenever I really, really want to drink or use, I go get ice cream. I went and got ice cream.
What kind?
A salted caramel core by Ben and Jerry's is my favorite ice cream on the planet. It's so good. But yeah, I went and got ice cream.
I like that, actually. That's really, really good. My favorite by Ben and Jerry's is the fish kind. Like, you know what the little fish is in it?
No, I didn't know they made that. I've not seen it.
Yeah, it's called fish food, but with a P. Fish food. Yeah. It's like chocolate fishies. It's like chocolate fishies in there. And then they have like, I think it's just like, it's like chocolate and vanilla like swirled together. And then like those chocolate fish foods in there. Do you think, because there's always going to be, in my mind, there was always going to be an asterisk for the Lakers organization by winning in the bubble. Do you think there should be an asterisk for the Lakers winning in the bubble? Because it's twofold, right? Winning's winning. You want a chip, you want a chip, right? But at the same time, it's a shortened season, right? And they had like 3 months off.
Right. I get that.
You had time. Yeah. You had time to rest. And, you know, you have LeBron, who, no offense, like you said, Father Time's undefeated. I don't care if you're putting $1 million worth of stuff for your body to like recover. You're still old, honey. So like, you know, that ability to have that time is kind of like where that asterisk comes in. Do you feel like most Laker fans, where you're like, nope, doesn't matter, a win's a win, or are you like, you know what, thank God for the bubble and thank God for COVID and thank God for, you know, that little asterisk or whatever?
It's a gift and a curse though. Because we played the most basketball, we were an older team, And then the following two seasons, we've been banged up because we played non-fucking-stop. Like, we put, they had to shorten break from the bubble to that next season. So we've been banged up since then. So it's a gift and a curse. The only thing I will say is this. San Antonio won it one year. I forgot what year it was, the lockout season.
For the strike, yeah.
No one talks about that because over time, I think it kind of like, it just goes, it's just a championship. So I feel like I feel like this, it works for both sides. The Skip Baylesses of the world will always have that. They'll always be able to point to that, but a chip's a chip, man.
Like, but what about just the home field advantage not being a factor in that championship? Because I think that does play a big part in any sports where you got to travel and you have your home team, I mean, your home crowd. Not having that and just being in a neutral area, I guess it works for both teams playing. I mean, it affects both teams, but you don't think that deserves an asterisk for not even being able to win it in LA or have games in LA?
I mean, but then again, we had the best record in the league there. So we lost out on home court. We were going to have home court. We were the best team in back. Like, I think all those are good arguments, and it's hard for me to argue against them. Even as a fan, I know I'll probably get in trouble with other Lakers fans because that does make sense. It was an advantage. Older team, they got some rest. You know, not having to travel a bunch probably helped. But at the same time, I don't know who was going to beat that Lakers team that year anyway. They were insane. Like, people don't realize they were firing on all before the bubble. That team was kicking everybody's ass. So it's not like, it would be one thing if they were struggling or doing halfway decent, or there were some teams that were just obviously better than them. That year was like, who won the title the year before that? Wasn't it Toronto? And Toronto won because everybody in Golden State got hurt other than Curry. Right. So really there was like, and then right after that, Kawhi went to the Clippers. So there was no obvious dominant favorite team. And Durant left the Warriors. So Warriors are banged up. Toronto doesn't have Kawhi. There's this open spot for like who's the best team. So I can see you have to gotta look at the context, like where the league is at. That's the same reason why I don't think the Lakers can compete now. It's not just about looking at the team. You also, they don't play in a vacuum. They play against other teams. The league is just so competitive right now, where it's just like, you know, Boston just got better. They just got Brogdon, which is, we can debate whether that's going to be upgrade or not, but I think it is. You know what I'm saying? So like the teams that have been good are either better than they were the last time the Lakers were competitive, or even better, you know what I'm saying, than they were last year. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know. It's,
well, and we all know the Warriors have been the team to beat. And that year, I mean, had they been healthy, they're deaf. I think they're putting up a good fight against that. But AD,
we're talking about no KD though, right? KD's gone still, but just that Warriors team without KD healthy. Well, excuse me, without KD, but that Warriors team healthy. I can't remember who else they had though, because they didn't have. Did they have Wiggins? Did they have the team that they have constructed, or are we just talking about taking KD off of that team?
We're just talking about taking KD off that team because Wiggins wasn't even on that team yet, right?
No, how'd they get Wiggins? They had what's the guy's name? The point guard. He's on Timberwolves right now. Guy came remember. Russell. They had D'Angelo Russell, didn't they? I feel like they did.
Yeah,
I think, I don't know, man. I'm not, this is where I turn into a Lakers fan. I don't think y'all messing with us that year. I'm even healthy, man. I don't, like you said, no one had anything. Who was messing with AD that year or from you guys' team? Like, he would have, I don't know.
I mean, we're not like a big, you know, we don't play big ball. So I think you're going to have to offensively keep up with us with shooting the lights out. And with Clay and Curry alone, you're going to have problems. Mm. But down in the paint, yeah, I mean, we didn't really have a big presence other than Draymond. I think we had, who was the other guy we had down there?
I think we still had Looney, but there was another big man we had. But like I said, we don't play, we play small ball. So I just think with or without KD, we can still shoot the lights out. And that's, I mean, right now the Lakers really don't have any shooters, you know, and without, unless AD is going off from the paint and from the three line, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Let's get real though. You guys didn't win, by the way, you didn't win your championship this year because you guys hit the three every single other shot. Yeah. The last game, the game that you won the actual title, Curry went to the basket a lot. Like, he switched it the fuck up. He went to the bucket. He was on the floor, on the ground, hustling. Like, that defense that you guys had, that killed the Celtics.
No, I mean, yeah.
Like, that's what won you guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, what makes the Warriors so good is that they have the three, which can demoralize you. Like, someone made a point that there's nothing more demoralizing in the world of sports than the Steph Curry three, because just like, oh, my God, here it comes. But let's keep it real. It's the balance. It's being able to get to the basket and play defense. That Lakers team, the better defensive team, in my opinion, that team, I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about the team that won the bubble chip, are as good a defensive team. And I would say better, far better in the interior. And then, yeah, they're not the best three-point shooting team, but you got Caruso, you got, what's his name? Jesus Christ. Casey
Kuzma. Oh, yeah.
And you got Kuzma. So you got wings. You got big wings that can switch on everything on the outside. So it's not like you're going to just be shooting wide open threes. You can make them work for the three, which makes it easier for you on the offensive end. I just feel like that team would have beat. And then also you got to ask, which Clay are you getting? Because if you're getting this Clay, nah, you guys don't have a chance.
Yep.
There's no chance. Like, if you get pre-AC, you get pre-injury Clay, okay. But this Clay, I mean, I don't know, man. That Lakers team was, this sucks that they had to win their title in the bubble, because I think people don't truly realize how fucking special that team was. Like, that team was really well-rounded, man. They were fucking huge. They could run. They could shoot. I feel like people get too complex about the way they try to break down basketball. If you're bigger and faster and can shoot, I mean, like the Warriors team was big and fucking fast and can shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just like people try to overcomplicate shit with basketball sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, regardless, that team, we won't see them ever again. That Lakers team. And we'll never know.
So wait, I'll ask you, who's your favorite going into this season? Who's the favorite?
I'm saying my Warriors. We did just lose some key guys, but we'll see what happens in the offseason. But I think what Wiggins has become and is still becoming,
yeah,
gives them the ultimate balance of what they need.
Yeah.
Because getting KD, I mean, I think Wiggins is almost, I'm not going to say he's on the level of KD, but he has other intangible things that makes that three position everything for the Warriors. And so,
and you know what he has that KD doesn't have?
Age?
Yep. He's younger. He's younger. I mean, again, like we said, Father Time is undefeated, man. Like, yep. You get injuries, you get hurt. Youth is on his side right now. And I'm not saying he's on the level. I'm with you. I don't think he's on the level that KD is. KD's another beast. KD is just, he is a player that we're never going to see again. Like that, like, if you get a repeat KD, you count your blessings. You pay him whatever the fuck he wants. You do what you got to do to keep somebody like a KD talent. But Wiggins isn't a KD talent. Like, he's just, but he has certain intangibles that KD has. It's certain attributes that KD has. But he has youth. And that's definitely going to be helpful for him moving forward.
I mean, that's always been the key for that team's success, though. I mean, you think about that shit got Harrison Barnes overpaid. Because it was just like, we need a three who can switch on anybody and who can knock down a shot when he's told to, when he needs to. When we need a bucket, when he gets a wide open three or an occasional slash to the basket or just a once in a while ISO. That's why they were so good with KD, because it was like, hey, let's get the best at all of those things. Like, who can switch on anyone, who can shoot the three, who can create their own shot better than like a seven foot shooting guard. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane, you know. So he's in the perfect system, I'd say. Wiggins, he's in the perfect position. He doesn't have to be the man, but you know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Cully.
I was going to just say that real quick. I think they run the West, but on the East, I do think Boston did get better, and I think we may see that matchup again in the finals. They might run that back.
I think that if Milwaukee is completely healthy,
I think that
Milwaukee and Boston, that's going to be a great series. It's going to be a great series. But, I mean, I could see either Milwaukee or Boston contending for a chip.
It's about the health of Milwaukee. I think unless there's another gear that Jason Tatum has to get to. If he doesn't, if Jason Tatum, who's a perennial all-star, he's incredible. He's from St. Louis. I love him. But if he stays pat, or he gets a little bit better, Boston's never going to win a chip. Not with Giannis out there, because Giannis just needed one other person to come along with him. I mean, he had Holiday was fine, wasn't terrible. He was pretty good, but you just needed something else, and they weren't going to beat Giannis damn near by himself. You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, if Milwaukee is healthy, I feel like the East is just theirs to lose every year.
Do you even think that Ben Simmons is going to be a factor if he ever gets on the court? I know.
I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
Man, I want to believe that because I don't know. Issa Rae, I'm saying her name wrong, was a super successful producer and actress. She said, "I'm rooting for everybody black." I just have like an innate sort of like, "You go get it, brother." Like, you get it, sister, like automatic. So I'm automatically rooting for him. But just if you just ask me just cynically, I don't know. I just don't. He just seems kind of like, I don't know. It's just so weird. Like, I don't think he's going to move the needle enough for anyone. Like, even if he comes back, do you remember him passing up on that layup as if Trae Young was going to block it, was going to pack his shit? Like, no, after that shot, I was just like, yo, man, that was crazy.
I mean, that's like Lisa Leslie missing a dunk. It's like, it's really, really, I don't see him making an impact offensively or defensively. And he's supposed to be this defensive stud, right? Yeah. Like that's supposed to be his saving grace. I'm like, your butt has not been on the court in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
You have not played in almost 2 years. And that's because you don't want to play. So that's the reason why, like, I don't think that the 76ers, like, this is it for them. And like, this is the one and only time that I'll give him his due, is that James Harden taking that pay cut for all of this and trying to actually try to win a chip with this organization. I feel so bad for him. And I will never say that ever again, by the way, because I'm not a huge Harden fan, but like, do you even think that they'll contend?
Oh, but I mean, yo, but Simmons is on the Nets.
Oh, sorry, you're right. But even that.
But I do think you hit it on the head. This is the year for the Sixers. This is it. They got to do it this year. Like, you just got to, fam. Like, you still got Boston figuring things out. You know, they just added a piece. Milwaukee's gonna be on revenge tour, but they're not. It's not quite the same as, like, you know, everybody's 100%. Blah blah blah. You know, still getting.
But they do have Middleton back.
That's true. That is true. I just feel
that's a huge factor.
And also, I feel like Miami's gonna take a bit of a step back. I just feel like they just got a lot of aging pieces. So in Miami, people forget Miami was the number one seed in the East. Like, we kind of gloss over it. Like, they were the technically the best team in the East last year. But I feel like this is the Sixers' year. The big question with the Sixers is, who is James Harden right now? Like, is James Harden washed? Because he did not look tired or, like, beat up. He looked washed, fam. He looked done.
So here's my thing, though. Are you saying that because your expectations for him are 30 points and above every game because that's what he has normally given us? And now he's trying to be like, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to help out the family.
He's shooting 38% from the field. I remember that. He's shooting 38% from the field. If you score 18 points a game, but you're shooting efficiently, he's shooting 42 to 50 in that range. Cool. Are you shooting the three ball well? He's shooting 38%. He got no lift on his jump shot. He can't get to the basket. It's not like, oh, I'm not getting to the basket because I'm setting people up. He couldn't get by people. I mean, if someone tells me I'm wrong, please correct me, but I'm watching the game and I'm like, he can't get past people. And I just
I'm going to look up his stats and I'm going to get back to you on that one because yeah. I don't have my laptop in front of me. But like, because I also feel like maybe he also feels like father time is happening to him right now too. So he's like, okay, I got to work smarter, yeah. Not harder.
Is father time a name of a strip club?
I'm just saying. Well, he's not Lou Will, honey.
He likes to kick it. Like, hey, I'm not taking anything away from him. You know, it's just, you can't have everything. You can't do what you want when you want and then get all the money and win a champ. Go play for whatever team you want and win. Shit, people have to make sacrifices. LeBron made the sacrifice of like, all right, I'm not going to be as cool or in the spots with people as much. I'm going to be in the gym. People are going to think I'm kind of a pariah or, you know, fake because I'm switching teams. You make sacrifice. You give up certain things to get stuff. James Harden feels like he just wants to have all of it. That's why we like the pay cut so much. Because it's the first time we felt like you think of James Harden, you think of like, oh, that's a sacrifice to win. Like, that dude, he's giving something up to be a champion. I don't know. And then we prop that kind of stuff up. We love that kind of story. But then again, also the devil's advocate argument is, who was going to pay him max money after his performance last year anyway? So this way, at least he could be like, oh, no, I'm not taking the pay. I didn't get my money cut. I just, you know, I told them to do what they need to do for the team. It's like, bro, he wasn't gonna get $40 million anyway. You know, so here's a question. Okay. Who's going to have a better year, Kyrie or James Harden? Because they both have stuff to prove. Kyrie's got to prove he's not a lunatic or not a, you know, this is a contract year for him. So I was wondering.
Yeah, I think if we saw anything from Kyrie, and I like love him and I respect him for sticking up for what he believes in and whatever. Yeah,
same.
But Kyrie is Kyrie and he gives negative fucks. I think Harden will be a little bit more, hey, I got to make my money and whatever, you know, kind of mentality. And like, this is the year versus Kyrie's like, eh, I'm good. And also Kyrie doesn't have that major chip on his shoulder because he's already won one.
That's true.
He already has won one. And James has never won one. So.
That is true. And I mean, Kyrie won like the big one. You know, no offense.
Yeah.
No offense, man. But that's the 3-1. like, that's crazy. Like, I don't want to. I mean, I'm also a unique-minded person like Kyrie. But it's just, I guess, coming from nothing and still struggling to make ends meet, it's hard for you to, like, It's just being real. Like it makes you more default. Like, oh, this person's nuts because you don't know what it's like to be like, oh, this is $200 million or this is $40 million. Like
money's not an issue for him. Money's not an issue for him. You know, so like, I think that's why like everybody's like, oh, he's crazy. Like he's losing all this money. I'm like, you know how much he's worth? He's fine. Money is not a problem. He's already won the championship. He already has like all these things going and working for him. He's been in the league for X amount of years. He's good. He doesn't need, he can afford to take a step back and take these pay cuts and be like, you know what? You don't want to pay me? I'm good. You know, you don't want to, you know, you guys don't want to win? I'm good. You know, I'll do what I have to do for my family and for myself. And again, respect, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, you have to get, you know, you have to do what the organization tells you to do or else like you're always in the wrong. Oh. I don't care about that stuff. So I think like, but adding to that, he's always been crazy. He's never, ever been sane. So you just have to know how to work within those parameters of that crazy for him.
The only thing that I've ever heard him say that I fully disagree with, because I'm I'm not going to get into the politics of it. I'm vaccinated, but I don't believe in telling people how to do whatever. Do what you want. You know, I don't like that. I don't like doing that. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to try to science it up on you. So, no. But the only thing that he said or that he implies that actually really kind of makes me angry is it one in both ways again. It's this idea of like, look, I just want to hoop. I just want to hoop. Bro, if it was just hooping, you wouldn't make $100 million. Like, you can't be super famous and mega successful and rich and have your own Nike shoe designed for you and there's no media and there's no, like, that ecosystem creates the money. That all that attention talking back on itself, about us talking about it right now. Ain't nobody podcasting about my mixtape right now, I mean, other than me. It's not some right. random person like going, you know, I don't know if Damon should have did track number 14. But if there were, I would be a millionaire. If there were hundreds of thousands of people right now debating my last single release, would that be annoying? Yes. Would it hurt my feelings? And people say, Nicki, your last shit was dope, but you suck now. Of course it would hurt my feelings. But I would be a millionaire. So I'd have to have a balance in my head of like, yeah, man, it's frustrating that people won't just let me rap. But with all that scrutiny comes all the success that I'm enjoying. So it's just this weird disconnect. I even understand where he's coming from, but it's when they talk about it, it's almost like they can't seem to put the two things together. Like their brains won't acknowledge like scrutiny comes with, it's just like, why are people hating on me? Like they just can't fathom the concept. Like, bro, it's a $1 billion industry. Like that's how it works. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. You know?
Yeah. Weird to me. Yeah. I know Tully just switched over to the car. Tully, are you still with us?
We lost him.
I think we might have lost him.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sweet. Awesome. Thank you. So with all that being said, I know we got to kind of wrap it all up because we've been going on a little bit of a tangent now. It's been like over an hour. Which totally makes sense with you and me. Damon. Yeah, so totally. this could be like a Joe Rogan podcast. We can go 3 hours. I want to switch on over and wrap it up with the rundown and with the moment of truth as well. So Tully, with no further ado, can we get to that? Right, bro.
Yeah. We can hit him with the rundown real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, the first question, and everyone gets this question, is would you rather be a bird or a fish?
A bird.
It is what it is, man. Everybody answers the same thing. There's like two people that have only answered the other way. What would you be?
What kind of bird? Yeah. Definitely a bird of prey, obviously. I don't know. I don't want to say a ball. Maybe, no, actually, no, a raven. I like they're pretty smart.
Be all right. Okay.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Next question. Would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future?
10 minutes into the future or 110 minutes?
10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel like Damon's into the now as opposed to like, yeah, I want to that 150.
Yeah, 150 years. I don't know. Like I'm also trying to answer them really quickly without overthinking it. So just like, which one would be more useful for me? You know, 150 years might actually be more useful in my line of work. But like 10 minutes, I don't know. Just sounds like more fun.
He normally does. Tully, you still there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, can hear you now.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead for the next one.
I said, would you rather have
Tully, run it back. Would we rather have what?
All right. My last question was, would you rather have telekinesis or telepathy? So the ability to move things with your mind or the ability to read minds?
Oh, ability to move things in my mind. I'm muted. Oh, I'm on mute. Okay. The ability to move things in my mind. Telekinesis, please. I don't want to know what people are thinking. I think about all the crazy stuff I'm thinking about. I don't want in there. Think about how cynical a person you would be. Think about how awfully cynical and hateful you would be if you could know what everyone was thinking. Like all the stupid crap that runs through your head. I don't want any parts of that. So yeah.
No, you could You know, the good thing though about that, about telepathy though, is that you could possibly stop all these, well, not all of them, but a lot of the shootings and like all that other shit. You could stop some of that. So that would be the positive thing about reading somebody's mind. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I don't need to be all up in there.
You would be depressed. You would be in the worst place, mental space ever. Like everyone's just like, my butt's fat. I hate this. I hate everyone. Oh, this is so stupid. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm angry. I'm horny. I want chips. Like it would just be like,
oh, but then you could be like Dr. X and you could do some good.
Professor X.
You could be like Dr. Professor X. Professor X. Yes, you could be Professor X and you can like do some good.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'll do some good with telekinesis. Okay. I'll float around and stuff. I don't know. I'll probably just go to Vegas and start a like a magic act. You know what I mean? Be the man. Oh, that would be dope for live rap shows. I'd just be floating around and shit. Oh, come on. Yeah, definitely telekinesis. For sure.
Yeah, I'd be you.
Okay, that kind of be cool. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. All right, a couple more. Mm-hmm. Would you rather wear the same socks for a month or the same underwear for a week?
Oh, my God. There's no right answer.
No, and you're a really clean person.
Same underwear for a week, because then I just would just not do anything. Like I would just try to be as clean and I just wouldn't do any activities.
It's disgusting.
There's no right answer.
You couldn't take a dump for a week. Think about that.
You take a dump, you just gotta use the wet wipes. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be real thorough.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
Damn. Y'all don't want to ask any questions.
I mean, you could probably still take a shower with your drawers on and just let them things air dry, you know what I mean?
Hey, my God.
Okay, good answer. All right, let me hit you with, I think I'm going to go with this one. Would you rather have universal respect or unlimited power?
Damn, that's a really good question. Universal respect or unlimited power? Give me unlimited power. Screw it. My first thought was universal respect because that just feels good. But give me unlimited. First of all, unlimited power just sounds really cool. Like, just say it out loud. Unlimited power. If you wanted that to be a more difficult choice, you got to phrase that slightly different. Unlimited power. Yeah, give me that one. That just sounds too cool. Sorry. Like, if someone down the line asked me, what'd you say?
I said, that comes with universal respect too, I guess.
Right?
I was just going to say that. I'm like, take the universal respect because then you'll eventually get the power anyway. You'll get the universal power regardless.
Vice versa.
That way, like, you get both.
Vice versa. I got unlimited power. No, you better respect me.
Respect. Yeah, but if you have the respect, then you would have the automatic power. People are going to stand up and listen to you as opposed to being like, oh, fuck that fool.
Yo, I'm sorry. If someone found out I had the choice between something called unlimited power and anything else, and I chose the other thing, they would be so mad at me. Yo, you could have had unlimited power, son. Like, yo, I'd rather people not respect me and then, like, I'm able to, like, make sure someone like Trump is never president again or some shit like that. Like, you, fuck it. Like, I'd rather just know I did something good and powerful, just, you know, with my power. And people are like, fuck that nigga. Like, all right, you don't like me, but it was still good. I still did the right thing.
I like that.
Okay.
I'll do one more and then the moment of truth. Would you rather ask your ex or a total stranger for a favor?
Oh, definitely a total stranger. Absolutely. Wait, which ex? Like my most recent ex or just any ex?
We'll go with your most recent.
Oh, yeah. Total stranger. Total strangers. Total stranger. that didn't end well. No. Total stranger, please.
Okay. Yeah, keep that in the past. Okay. Yeah. All right. And for the moment of truth, since I know you're an artist, a rapper, if you had a chance to do a project with any producer and collab with any artist on that project, who would they be?
So the producer and the artist are two different people?
Yeah. So yeah. A rapper and then a producer. Obviously, there are producers that can rap too, but you get both.
That's hard, dude. That is so hard. Any producer, any artist. I know he's like, I just got to go with my instinct. He's politically not the man, but I love Kanye. So it'll be Kanye as a producer.
He is a genius.
I just feel like me and him would click. And as an artist, that's really hard because I'm working on an album right now and I have the list of artists I want on there. You know what? No, I know who it is. I would do it with Run the Jewels. Both, I don't even know if you guys even know who that is, but
I'm gonna Google him when we get off the show.
Yeah, I would do my artist would be Run the Jewels. It would be Kanye as a producer and Run the Jewels as artist, because they're exactly where I want to be in terms of career. Like they're right now, they're on tour with Rage Against the Machine, and they've got like really successful records. They play Coachella every year, but they're not like Drake, you know what I mean? Like they're not like. So they make more on, they make whatever kind of music they want to make. So they're in like the exact spot I would love to be in, where you do what you want to do, you make whatever art you want, and then you still play big stages and go on world tours and stuff like that. So.
That's dope. Okay. I'm gonna check. I definitely heard of them, but I don't have any songs jumping out at me right now.
Yeah. They're underground. It's weird now how there's like a mainstream underground, right? Because they're not like underground, like no one's heard of them, but they're still not mainstream. So they're underground, but they're great.
So, okay. Yeah, I rap too, bro, so we may have to do a little collab at some point down the line.
Dude, send me a, please, add me on the gram, bro. I'll add you right back.
You got it, bro. Yeah, I keep posting my music all the time, so.
Hell yeah, I'm going to check you out.
We can work on something. We can build or something.
Dude, I'm down. I'm down full time. And like I said, G called me on a good day. I got this new project with this producer that I'm just writing lyrics for. So I'm just sitting at the house writing and listening to music. So I'll probably check it out right now.
That's what's up. Yeah, check that out, bro. I'll check you out too, man.
Hell yeah. Hell
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. That's our show.
Yeah.
Any other shout outs you want to give or anything coming up?
Yeah, any plugs? Plugs.
Yeah, we got the new mixtape. I'm From the Future. It's either going to be out, no, it won't be out by the time this comes out, but it's coming soon. I'm From the Future. And just follow me on all my social media to keep up with me. Anywhere you look, it's just Songs by DAE, Songs by Day. Lots of music.
Hey, if you saw 150 years in the future, you'd know when it was coming out. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You got me. I don't know if I'd be able to remember all that shit. I'd be like...
All right, be on the lookout. We will definitely be on the lookout, brother.
Respect, man. Much respect.
Thank you, G. Thanks, Damon.
Pleasure is mine. I'll talk to y'all.
All right, y'all.
Yep.
Good luck this year with the Lakers, man. You know, it's going to be tough to see us, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Nah, I saw.
Catch a game.
I don't need to see 150 years in the future to know how this season's going to play out. But, but <we'll see. laughs> All right, y'all. Take it easy.
Thank all you, right, Damon. Y'all.
That's our show. Ha ha ha, at a baller. And peace out. Hit 'em, should I split 'em? Should I get 'em? You should just finish roll with 'em. Then I sit 'em down. Get up now. Click it down. Mac and